Thank you. And good afternoon, everyone, and happy Halloween. I am Jennifer Tolbert, Director of State Health Reform here at the Kaiser Family Foundation, and I'm joined by my colleague, Karen Politz, who is a senior fellow here at Kaiser. We are also grateful to have participating on the webinar today navigators from our three states, Kentucky, Tennessee, and Virginia. They are Kelly Cawley, who is the Assistant Program Supervisor with KIPDA, Emily Fauché, Lead Navigator for the Hispanic Community at Family and Children's Service, and Jill Hankin, Director of Enroll Virginia. Now, before we get started, I want to just go over some quick logistics. First, today's web briefing will be recorded. The archived recording and the slides will be posted online, and everyone who RSVP'd will receive notification of when they are posted. Also, this webinar is listen only. However, you can still ask questions using the chat function. Just type in your question at any time during the web briefing. We'll answer them during the Q&A session that follows the presentations. And note, if your question is specific to one of our participating states, please be sure to include that in your question so we can appropriately direct your question. And with that, we'll go ahead and get started. So the Affordable Care Act's fifth open enrollment period starts tomorrow. But in some respects, consumers may be laboring under more uncertainty, confusion, and misinformation than was the case just before the first open enrollment back in 2013. It's been a tumultuous year with many events leading us up to today. The past year has been dominated by a debate in Congress over repealing and replacing the ACA. Following the failure of efforts to replace the ACA, the administration has taken a number of steps, including shortening the open enrollment period, reducing federal funding for advertising and for in-person assistance, and most recently, terminating payments to insurance companies for the cost-sharing subsidies they're required by law to provide. So our tracking polls here at the Kaiser Family Foundation find evidence of confusion and uncertainty among consumers. Following the debate over repealing the ACA, nearly 30% of the general public and 40% of the uninsured do not know or are unsure whether the law's individual mandate remains in effect. So the first thing that consumers need to know is that the ACA is still the law, and there's still a requirement to have health coverage or pay a tax penalty. The penalty for 2018 is the same as for 2017, which is the greater of $695 per adult or 2.5% of income above the tax filing threshold. So to satisfy the mandate, people can sign up for health coverage offered at work, and they can also apply for Medicaid or CHIP. We estimate that there are over 300,000 residents in Kentucky, Tennessee, and Virginia who are eligible for Medicaid or CHIP but are not currently enrolled. And people who don't have access to job-based coverage or aren't eligible for public programs, they can buy individual health insurance. Subsidies are available through the marketplace for people with income between the federal poverty level and four times poverty, which is about $12,000 to $48,000 a year for an individual. But non-group coverage can only be purchased during the open enrollment period or outside that period following certain life change qualifying events. So our tracking poll also found that people don't know when this coming open enrollment starts and ends. Even among people already enrolled in the marketplace, 60% are unaware that the next open enrollment begins on November 1st. Among the uninsured, 85% don't know this opening date. And 75% of marketplace enrollees and 95% of the uninsured are unaware that the enrollment period ends this year on December 15th. So consumers need to know these dates. All previous open enrollment periods have extended at least through the end of January. This year, in healthcare.gov states, the open enrollment period is just 6 weeks long, starting on November 1st and ending on December 15th. And again, after that date, consumers will not be able to buy an individual health insurance policy for 2018 unless they have a qualifying event, such as the loss of other coverage, that triggers a special enrollment period. This year, as in the past, people who are already enrolled in Marketplace coverage and who don't act by 11:59 p.m. on December 15th will likely be automatically renewed into their current plan or into a different plan if their current plan is not available in 2018. Auto renewal has been a standard practice for several years now. During the last open enrollment period, 23% of Marketplace signups were accomplished by auto renewal. But consumers have always been advised to actively shop for a new plan, and this year that is especially good advice. In the past, people could see the results of their auto renewal in January, and they still had a month to change plans if they did not like the plan that they were auto renewed into. That won't be the case this year. And as we'll discuss in a minute, a number of 2017 Marketplace insurers are leaving in 2018, and premiums are increasing, unlike what we've seen in the past. So it's going to be important for people to log into healthcare.gov, see the new plan choices and costs, and make the choice that's best for them. So looking at our three states, Kentucky, Tennessee, and Virginia, there were major plan exits in all three of these states in 2018. Humana left the marketplace in both Kentucky and Tennessee. Additionally, Aetna and United Health left the marketplace in Virginia. And then on top of that, Anthem reduced its footprint in both Kentucky and Virginia. As a result, many, if not most, areas in all three of these states will have a choice of only one issuer. So our tariff of tracking polls also find that marketplace consumers are very worried about the affordability of their coverage. A majority are concerned they won't be able to continue to afford coverage next year due to rising premiums and deductibles. So it's important for consumers to know that ACA subsidies are still available, and that includes both the premium tax credits to help make the premiums more affordable, as well as the cost-sharing subsidies that reduce the deductibles and copays. So just a quick reminder, the cost-sharing subsidies are available to Marketplace enrollees with income 100 to 250% of the federal poverty level who purchase silver plans. These cost-sharing subsidies increase the actuarial value of the silver plan, thus lowering the deductibles and other out-of-pocket costs compared to the traditional silver plan. So 2 weeks ago, President Trump announced that he is ending reimbursement to insurers for these cost-sharing subsidies, which is something he had been threatening to do all year. But it's important for consumers to know that while the Trump administration is terminating the reimbursement to insurers, insurers are still required to offer the cost-sharing subsidies to eligible consumers. So the most important takeaways for consumers, cost-sharing subsidies are still available, and while insurers are raising premiums to compensate for the loss of the federal reimbursement, consumers eligible for tax credits will mostly be held harmless for those premium increases. So what most insurers did to address the loss of these CSR payments was to apply this extra rate increase just to the premium for the silver plans. Insurers in Tennessee applied the premium increase to all silver plans, while insurers in Kentucky and Virginia applied the premium increase to silver plans sold through the marketplace only, not to the off-marketplace silver plans. And this is because the cost-sharing subsidies are tied to the silver plans, so it makes sense to adjust the premiums on just those plans to account for the loss of those federal payments. So as a result, the silver premiums in these states will increase much more than will premiums in bronze plans. But because the dollar value of the premium tax credit is tied to the cost of the benchmark silver plan, when the silver plan premiums go up, tax credits will also go up just about dollar for dollar. So So the bottom line for consumers, if you're eligible for tax credits, know that the tax credit will absorb the premium increase. As long as you buy the benchmark silver plan or a cheaper plan, you will pay the same or less than you did in 2017 for coverage. And this year, because of this unusual pattern of premium rate changes, people may also find other deals on bronze plans and gold plans in some areas. Now, consumers not eligible for the tax credits will likely face higher premiums. In Kentucky and Virginia, these consumers should also look at plans sold off the marketplace, as they may be able to find a better deal there than they'll find on the marketplace. So let's take a look at some examples in these states. The healthcare.gov window shopping tool has opened, so people can now go to healthcare.gov, enter their own information, and see what their situation will be. In this example, we show a 30-year-old living in Louisville, Kentucky, with an income at 200% of the poverty level, or about $24,000 in 2018. So in 2017, this person was eligible for a tax credit of $95 per month. If she used that tax credit to buy the benchmark silver plan, she would have paid $127 a month for that coverage. In 2018, the benchmark plan is going up $110 a month, or about 50%, but her tax credit will also go up by the same amount. So she can get the benchmark plan again next year for roughly the same amount. And if she prefers to buy the lowest cost bronze plan, in 2017, that would have cost $101 a month, but in 2018, the net cost will be $42 a month. And that's because the premiums for the bronze plan are increasing at a lower rate, only 27%. Now, in this case, the gold plan is going to be much more expensive in 2018. So let's move this young woman to Nashville. So in 2017, she was eligible for a tax credit of $245. And similarly, she would have paid $127 for the benchmark premium. In 2018, the benchmark plan is going up $147. But again, her tax credit is increasing, so she will pay the same amount if she continues to purchase the benchmark silver plan. And if she prefers, she can buy the lowest cost bronze plan for a zero premium. So again, for those people who are eligible for the cost sharing subsidies, they're likely going to, well, they should stick with the silver plans because they get the lower deductibles there. But for people who are only eligible for tax credits and not the cost-sharing subsidies, a lower cost or a free bronze plan may be a good option. Okay, now let's head to the beach, Virginia Beach. Premiums are increasing much more in this part of Virginia than in our other examples. The benchmark premium is increasing 88%, but again, the subsidies are increasing as well. So this person in our example can pay the same for the silver plan, or she can buy a bronze plan for a $0 premium. As you can see here, the gold plans are going up astronomically, so those plans will likely be out of reach for many people. But once again, the bottom line message for consumers is that premiums are going up in 2018 as insurers price for the loss of federal payments and other uncertainty. But most of that increase is being applied to the silver plans, so subsidies will keep up with those increases. Subsidy-eligible individuals will be able to pay about the same amount or less for their monthly premiums. And consumers not eligible for subsidies can buy plans other than the marketplace silver to avoid the especially high rate increases. And again, they may want to look at off-marketplace plans in particular to check out those prices. So also new this year, there are some rules that are taking effect this year. First, consumers who received premium tax credits in 2016 and did not reconcile those advanced premium tax credits against what they were actually eligible for will not be eligible for tax credits in 2018. So consumers who haven't reconciled their tax credits on their by filing their 2016 federal income tax return will discover this issue when they apply for 2018 coverage and subsidies. Unfortunately, the eligibility determination notice will say they are ineligible for these tax credits, but they that notice will not say why. Instead, the notice is going to give a list of possible reasons, and the consumers are going to have to figure it out. Now, consumers can address this issue by filing an amended 2016 return with the appropriate form 8962. They can then log back into their healthcare.gov account, indicate the change, and that should turn on their subsidy. However, to get their premium tax credits started by for coverage that begins on January 1st, they are going to have to accomplish all of this by December 15th. So the other new rule that's implemented this year allows insurers to refuse to effectuate consumers' 2018 coverage if they owe past due premiums from 2017. This new rule took effect on June 19th of this year, so we're not anticipating that it's going to affect very many people, but it may affect some. Now, importantly, states can prohibit insurers from adopting this provision, and not all issuers have adopted this change for 2018. Looking ahead, however, consumers need to know that missing premiums can limit their ability to continue coverage in the future. So given all of these changes, the last and most, I think, most important thing to mention is that consumers should start this process early this year. Waiting until the final week of open enrollment is risky. Every open enrollment so far, there's been a surge of activity in the final weeks before a deadline, and we're expecting that to increase this year given the single deadline on December 15th. We've experienced in the past healthcare.gov slowdowns as well as long waits at the call center as these deadlines approach. In the past, HHS has allowed an in-line extension for people who started applications by the deadline but weren't able to complete their enrollment. It is not clear if that will happen again this year. So, again, we encourage all consumers to complete the enrollment process by 11:59 on December 15th. Meanwhile, HHS has announced planned maintenance periods when healthcare.gov will be offline. That includes every Sunday morning during open enrollment, and then possibly some outages on November 1st. HHS also cut funding for navigators in federal marketplace states. That represented a 16% cut overall for programs in Tennessee, and 49% cuts in Virginia. Now, in Kentucky, the navigators in Kentucky are state-funded, so they were not affected by these federal cuts. But programs that took large cuts have had to lay off staff, reduce hours of operation, or their geographic service areas. And even before funding cuts, it was true that navigators sometimes couldn't meet all of the demand for appointments in the final surge days before the deadline. So once again, consumers need to know they should not wait until the last minute. Start as early as possible to set up an account, update your application, review plan choices and costs, and get enrolled in coverage for 2018. And then lastly, I just want to point out some resources from the Kaiser Family Foundation that are available on our website. These include our health reform frequently asked questions, our marketplace subsidy calculator, which will be updated for 2018, hopefully within the next week. We are also launching a new penalty calculator that should be available soon that will tell people what they will owe if they choose not to enroll in coverage. And then other resources. So we encourage you to check out those resources. And with that, I'm now going to turn things over to Kelly Cawley.
Thank you. First thing I'd like to say is welcome to everybody who is online with us from Kentucky. We're looking forward to the excitement and energy that comes with open enrollment. The first slide that we have to discuss is actually the sort of change in our advertising that took place last year, and our hope is that everyone will begin to understand and that it becomes very clear to everyone that health insurance in Kentucky is for everyone and that the sisters can help with that regardless of your circumstances. So go ahead and switch to the next slide. We are a state-based marketplace that utilizes the federal platform, so we're one of only five states that has that as the way that we do business. It makes us unique in several ways from some of the other programs. One of that is that our sister program is state-funded, and so those cuts did not necessarily directly affect us. I will say that we have had some cuts in staffing over the last year due to our funding. So we are down to 8 assisters in our 16-county region. And some of the other assister programs across the state have had a few cuts, but everyone is still maintaining their coverage area and responsible for that. In Kentucky, we do have 2 insurers for the state, but there is only 1 per county that will be available, and that is a change. Anthem has, since the beginning of 2013, open enrollment, been available in all 120 counties of the state of Kentucky, and they have dropped their coverage area to only 59 counties. What that does for the individuals in Kentucky is that those that would be switched from an Anthem plan to a CareSource plan and auto-enrolled will have the opportunity for an extended open enrollment period. We're not pushing that as information because we want to make sure that everyone gets in and gets coverage just in case, but they will actually have until March 1st to complete an enrollment for their effectuated date to begin on April 1. But so that is an option, but obviously we're trying to push everyone to get in to see an assister before December 15th and complete their enrollment so that there's no problems or questions or concerns. If you were enrolled in a 2017 plan, you will be auto-enrolled in the closest cross-reference plan. Again, even if that is a different issuer and they must switch to CareSource, and in several of those counties, that is going to be the situation. So our number one concern is the doctor network that people have been using for service for quite some time, is that the fear that they may believe that their previous insurance covered their doctor, and once they're auto-enrolled into the new plan, it does not cover their doctor. So we're trying to make sure that people understand what their choices are. With the CareSource plans, even though there is only one issuer in those counties, those 61 counties, there still are 13 plan choices available for pretty much everyone on the exchange. So there's still a lot of things to look at as far as what's going to be the best fit for their family and their circumstances. So, again, we're encouraging everyone to meet with an assister. Next slide. As you will see, we have 3 major assister agencies that function throughout the state of Kentucky. The link that is there at the top of the page is a link directly to a search feature on a state-run website that allows you to put in your county or your address and identify the nearest assister and the places where they would be nearest to you, like on a calendar, so that you can find an enrollment event near you. So you see that we at KISA cover the yellow area, which is Region 3. The majority of the state is covered by Community Action Kentucky and one of their local offices and assisters at those locations. And the third, which is Region 8, is the green section over there that is our Eastern Kentucky territory, and that is covered by Kentucky Primary Care Associate assisters. So we do have contact information for each one of those individually, but again, the best choice is to click Find an Assister Near You, and you can have access to the one that literally is in your county and can come and meet with you in person and make sure that things get accomplished. Next slide. Go ahead and switch to the next slide, please.
I think it's the last link, Kelly. There may be a lag.
Okay. The next thing that we have here in Kentucky or in the KISA region is that we have decided to target a market with a new style this year of doing some health fairs, some open enrollment health fairs in our region. to try to promote getting to see an assister as soon as possible. So we have, at this point now, 15 of those scheduled throughout our 16-county region. Three of those are in our Metro Louisville area because we have such a high concentration of the population, obviously, in that territory. We have themed these kind of with a disco theme to pump up some excitement and motivation to get people there. And we're offering free Santa photos, which is a little bit different twist on probably the typical health fair, to try to get those younger involved that would be in that middle age group population that are typically purchasing those health care plans. So free Santa photos, face painting, as well as all the vendors. We're actually choosing some kind of unusual health fair vendors like yoga instructors and local gyms, health food, grocery stores, nutritionists, and agriculture agents from our cooperative extension offices, as well as the fire departments and some of those kinds of things that can offer some resources to growing families and to those that are typically enrolled in our healthcare.gov plans. All of those events are on that slide listed with dates and times for us to have those open opportunities. At the top of that page, you would find a link that is to the event calendar across the state. So if you click that link, it will show you all of the open enrollment events that are available in any county, and they're listed in alphabetical order. So that's an easy way to figure out where to go to find someone that can help you with your questions and answers. And that's what we're encouraging across the state of Kentucky, is to find an assister. We are experienced. We have been in nearly every situation to answer questions and want to be able to help people as much as we can. Thank you.
All right. Well, okay. Thank you, Kelly. Now I'm going to turn it over to Emily Fauché in Tennessee.
Thank you. I'm just going to go ahead and dive right into our slides here. I just have two quick slides for you today. The first one's going to be about our carrier options, and the second one, information on our enrollment assistance. So we have three carriers this year across the state: Blue Cross Blue Shield, Cigna, and Oscar. We had three carriers last year as well. However, Humana pulled out of our state and Oscar joined. So there are some coverage area changes to that. Blue Cross Blue Shield will be everywhere except for the greater Nashville area and the greater Memphis area. This is the same as their network coverage last year, with the exception of they've re-added the Knoxville area to their network again. So Blue Cross Blue Shield will be in the Knoxville area again this year. Cigna will be in the Tri-Cities area, greater Nashville area, and greater Memphis areas. This is exactly the same network coverage as they had last year. And Oscar, our newcomer, will be in the greater Nashville area only. Jennifer kind of touched on this, but all of our carriers submitted their plans assuming that the carriers would be the ones responsible for covering the CFRs. This means that our carriers do not have to change any of their plans as submitted. So, however, as Jennifer mentioned again, it did cause premium increases in order to stabilize the market, but people with tax credits will not see the effects of this, really. And then to touch on auto renewal and the specifics of how it's going to play out in Tennessee marketplace is things to note are anyone who's going to be, who was on a Humana plan who opted for auto renewal will be mapped either onto a Cigna or an Oscar plan. Blue Cross Blue Shield coverage area and Humana's did not overlap, so it'll be either just Cigna or Oscar. And in addition, Cigna has reduced the amount of plans that they are offering on the marketplace this year as opposed to last year. So anyone who was on a Humana plan or who is on one of those Cigna plans that is being discontinued is going to be mapped onto a new plan that is different than the one they have this year. In addition, there have been changes to all the networks, so it's really important that people do not rely on the auto renewal and, self-select their plan. And certainly there's assistance from navigators across the entire state in order to assist with that. So if we can go on to the next slide, I will go ahead and talk about what where our assistance is available. So we, as I said, have navigators across the state. In our Get Covered Tennessee phone number and website is there on the slide. The navigator program is led by Family and Children's Service, and we, but using either the phone number or the website, you will be prompted to put in your zip code and how many miles you're willing to travel for an appointment and your preferred language. And that will generate a list of appointments that are available to you with a navigator. Making an appointment with a navigator is really important in order to have someone there to discuss with you the, you know, your plan options and making sure that the application process runs smoothly. And we really encourage people, even if they're not sure, even if they're hesitant, you know, to go ahead and make an appointment with a navigator. Go ahead and work through that. And, you know, it's not, making an appointment does not bind you to enrollment. And then we have navigators across the state who speak English and Spanish. In addition, in the Nashville, Middle Tennessee region, we have Arabic, Kurdish, and Amharic languages available in person as well. And then we have language line services also available across the state for anyone who speaks another language. So we really want to make sure we're reaching out to everyone, that this is a service available to anyone who needs it. And that's it.
Great. Thank you, Emily. Now I'm going to turn it over to Jill Hankin in Virginia.
Hello, everyone. Thank you, Kaiser Family Foundation, for holding this event and inviting us to participate. We'll go to the next slide. I am the director of Enroll Virginia, which is a statewide navigator project. We've been providing navigator services statewide since the first open enrollment period, so we're pleased to be still in business to help folks during OE5. I've provided on this slide our website where people can get information. They can make appointments online, and we have our events calendar online as well. Our toll-free number, which you see there, will connect consumers to the local office that is closest to them based on the phone number they're calling from. We have about 25 full-time equivalent navigators covering the state of Virginia, so we have a lot of work to do. So it's very important for us to collaborate with other partners. We work very closely with certified application counselors who work out of the federally qualified health centers and many other organizations. Next slide. So in Virginia, and much of this was already explained, we do have fewer carriers participating this year than previous years, and most areas have only one carrier. Each of those carriers offers multiple plans, but in most areas of Virginia, people will see that they have to select a plan from a very different insurance company. There are going to be new provider networks. Different hospitals are going to be a network, and perhaps even different drug formularies. So there's a lot of information for consumers to manage, and I expect there's also going to be a lot of confusion when people who have perhaps gotten insurance from one company for the last several years to now learn they have to select another company that will come as a shock. Because of the loss of the CSR payments and all the other uncertainty at the federal level, the average rate increases in Virginia did increase some very substantially. The average increases ranged from about 34% to over 80%. Next slide. This is a picture of the number of issuers per county. The yellow shows all the areas of Virginia where there's just one issuer this year. This is quite different from previous years. The green shows where there are two issuers, and the blue shows in Northern Virginia only where there will be three issuers. So we do have questions about whether or not these remaining companies in each of these areas will have networks of providers and hospitals that's adequate to meet the need. Some of the plans that participated in previous years were relatively small players in Virginia, and now they will have a much larger role to play. For example, in previous years, Cigna had 17,000 enrolled customers for marketplace coverage, and this year they will be the issuer in the Richmond area and will have over 70,000 customers enrolling in their health plans. So, again, we want to make sure people understand these very significant changes and make the very best decision they can, and also take steps to make sure they know how to get the health care that they need. Next slide, please. This shows you where the various plans are operating. They're grouped in the configurations, but you see Anthem is the red areas, still covering a lot of the state, but in the past they were available throughout the entire state of Virginia. And I just mentioned Cigna, which will have this entire Richmond urban area as the sole offer of insurance through the marketplace. Next slide. So as other speakers have said, it's just very important that consumers are actively engaged this year to make their decisions for their families. They are already getting mail from their current insurance company saying, I'm not going to be serving you next year. They're getting letters from the new health plans, and they will be getting letters from healthcare.gov ultimately that's going to offer them automatic renewal into the same or the most similar new plan. But again, so many people are going to need to change from one company to a new one. They will have to actively take steps to pay their first payments, to set up their credit card debits, et cetera. So there will be steps that all consumers will need to take this year to make sure that their insurance is the right plan for their families and that everything's in shape to get the payments made on time and every single month. As noted previously, consumers are able to shop and switch to other plans, but they have to do this before the end of open enrollment unless they have access to a special enrollment period. So this will be the kind of work that our navigators do, and as you could imagine, it's going to take time to sit down one-on-one with families to review their options for 2018. Next slide. We are, of course, going to remind everyone that the tax credits are still available to folks who qualify for them, as well as the cost-sharing reduction plans will make quite a difference for people who still qualify for them. And with this very low, or short, I should say, open enrollment period, people should be taking their action as soon as possible. We have looked at the various changes to premiums and plans throughout Virginia. I will confirm what Kaiser said at the beginning, that we see that in some areas it will be better for people who don't get tax credits to shop off the market, because there are some silver plans that were not affected by the severe premium increases, but those are off the marketplace. In addition, we'll see people who can move up to a gold plan and get a better package overall by doing so, by using their tax credits that have gone up significantly because of the higher cost of the silver plans. They can use that towards a gold plan that might be the better choice for their families. But this varies quite a bit by insurance company and by geographic area in Virginia. So there really is a lot of research and analysis that our navigators will help consumers complete. And I think that's the end of my presentation. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Jill. And thanks to all of you for informative presentations. So now we're going to move on to the question and answer part of the webinar. We're going to answer questions that have been submitted, again, via chat. So there is still time to send in your questions. Go ahead and just type them into the chat function. And again, just a reminder, if your question is about a specific state, please include that in your question. Okay, so the first question is from Melissa Patrick in Kentucky. This one's for you, Kelly. She asks, is everyone auto-enrolled if they had a plan in 2017, or did they have to indicate that they wanted to be auto-enrolled on last year's application for this to happen?
They will all be auto-enrolled into the next closest plan, cross-reference, if that's necessary, to what they had this past year. There was no check mark, I believe, to say that you wanted to be auto-enrolled.
Okay, thank you. And here's a question for Virginia. It's from Sharon. What is the turnaround time after completing your application and getting notification of rates in Virginia?
Turnaround time, I think perhaps you're asking when does the insurance start? All of these plans, if people do enroll and select their plan and make their first binder payment, those plans will begin to provide insurance effective January 1 of 2018. So even if you do take action quickly in November, this is open enrollment for 2018 plans, so the coverage will begin then.
Okay, thanks, Jill. And here's a question for Emily in Tennessee. What should consumers in Tennessee know about off-market plans? Do these plans have the same consumer protections, or are they just catastrophic coverage?
So there are a lot of a big variety in off-market plans available. There are some that are considered, full coverage that will make it so that the enrollee doesn't have to pay the penalty. But consumers buying off-market should be very careful and make sure that the plans that they are enrolling in are one of those full coverage plans, because there are several different things off the market that don't qualify as a full marketplace or a full health insurance plan.
Okay, thank you. And we've got a question from Katie. I've heard of issues in the past with some consumers purchasing a plan without subsidies because they didn't know they qualified for any. Could that become a problem this year without as much time to contact Navigator programs? Katie, I'll start and then maybe turn it over to our navigators. If they, as long as consumers go through healthcare.gov and type in the information, they will be, the system will automatically indicate whether they are eligible for any premium tax credits. And so that should happen automatically. I think you may be referring to the cost-sharing subsidies, which people will only be eligible for if they purchase a silver plan, and that is sometimes a little less obvious whether people qualify for those cost-sharing reduction plans that have those lower deductibles. But there is now a notice on the healthcare.gov window as you're completing the application that says you may be eligible for these lower out-of-pocket cost plans, and but you need to purchase the silver plans. So the system does direct people, but I do think that there's still people generally aren't aware or as aware of these cost-sharing subsidies. So I will say, with all of the talk this year, it's possible that in a kind of a weird way, there may be greater awareness about these subsidies this year than has been in the past. But again, going directly to navigators to get help is always a good option, to the extent that there is availability and appointments available for consumers. Okay, so another question in Kentucky. If Kentucky navigators are not affected by the federal cuts, what state cuts have they been subject to?
Well, I believe that our total across the state average was 23% cut in funding for the navigator programs that were contracted. We do have navigators that are at local federal health centers, the hospitals, those types of things, that have never received payment for their services as being a navigator. It's their CACs. It's part of their role as an admissions person or that type of thing at those locations, and so they were not affected, so you still have access to those as well.
Okay. Thank you. And then we did get a question, another Kentucky question: how do we find which insurers are in our county for Kentucky? And maybe we can go back to that Kentucky map, because I think, Kelly, you did indicate which of the insurers are participating in each of the counties. No, the one right next to it. Yes.
Oh, that one.
And I think
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
The pink are the CareSource counties, and the blue are the Anthem counties. So it's fairly easy and broad, and that photo and a bigger map of that is available at the healthbenefitexchange.ky.gov website address. Near the bottom of the page, you can click, and it will show you that map.
Okay, great. Thanks. And then we got a question about the past due premiums. And this is from Joseph. Are past due premiums still a problem if a consumer is moving to a new insurer, purchasing seeking to enroll in a plan offered by a different insurer? And I'm going to ask Karen to answer that question.
So the answer is no. If there is another insurer to move to, then that's one way to sort of end this problem with past due premiums. So if you want to stick with your insurer for next year that you have this year, and if the insurer is adopting this practice, they don't have to, and not all are, they should have sent you notification this year that they will be adopting this practice moving forward. It is a new rule, as Jen mentioned, and only affects past due premiums that took effect after June 19th. So this may affect some people this fall, but moving forward, it really is important, particularly now in areas where there may just be one insurer moving forward. It'll be especially important for people to not fall behind on their premiums. If you do fall behind, be sure to get caught up before the end of the grace period so that this doesn't become a barrier to enrollment in the future.
Great. Thanks, Karen. So we have a question from Katie. If a person is eligible for the advanced tax credit to pay for premiums and goes from a silver to a bronze plan, will they get subsidies to help with deductibles in that bronze plan? And I think this is a really important point of clarification that people are eligible. The tax credits are available to consumers with who have incomes between 100 and 400% of the federal poverty level. And for a and people can use those tax credits, the tax credits that they're eligible for, to purchase a plan at any metal tier. So the tax credits are tied to the second lowest cost silver plan or the benchmark plan. But again, consumers can use that those tax credits to purchase a bronze plan or purchase a gold plan or purchase even a higher or lower cost silver plan. So, but for people who are eligible for the cost-sharing subsidies, those are people with incomes between 100 and 250% of poverty. They can only, those cost-sharing subsidies are only available if they purchase a silver plan. Now, they can purchase any silver plan. They don't have to purchase the benchmark silver. But if a person who qualifies for cost-sharing subsidies decides to take their tax credit and purchase a bronze plan, maybe because it's free, unfortunately, they will not get those cost-sharing subsidies to reduce the deductible. So they may be going from a silver plan that would have a very low deductible or at least a lower deductible to a bronze plan that may be free in terms of premiums, but will have a, you know, $6,000 or $7,000 deductible for an individual. So I think it's really important for consumers to understand this and to know that if they do qualify for those cost sharing subsidies, they must choose a silver plan in order to take advantage of them.
And Jen, can I just say something about that? I do think consumers are likely to be confused by some of the news reports recently about the availability perhaps of zero-cost bronze plans. Those plans are not as good as silver plans. The deductible's higher, especially if you're, I should say, if you're eligible for your cost-sharing reductions with a silver plan. Typically, that bronze plan is going to have a much higher deductible and higher out-of-pocket cost. So part of the work that navigators do, and we've been doing this all along, is trying to help consumers learn about the difference between premiums and deductibles and make sure that they understand that it's not just the premium cost that they need to look at, but the cost of deductible and actually the out-of-pocket cost when you see a doctor in terms of copayments or cost sharing. So the fact that they could qualify for a zero premium bronze plan really might not be the best choice.
Yes, thank you, Jill, for that clarification. I think that's really important for consumers to understand. Okay, so here's a question from Christy in Tennessee. How soon will auto-enrolled consumers be notified of a payment due for a 2018 policy?
So consumers should already have received notices saying that they have been auto-enrolled into a new plan. They will need to make payment to that plan again in order to have coverage effective on January 1st. So they have already received notices saying that here's your new premium, here's your new plan, which has caused a lot of confusion for some people. They should be receiving with those information on how to pay that premium for that new plan as well.
Okay, great. Thank you. And we have a question for Kentucky. For Kentucky clients choosing insurance, and with only one choice of insurers, what other options do they have if the only doctor in network is too far away for them to get to? This was a problem throughout the years, even with hospitals, particularly in eastern Kentucky, where transportation is a critical issue. Kelly?
Yeah, and those, that is true. You always have the option, as was explained earlier in the web briefing, that you could go to a private insurance agent and purchase insurance on the private market through a different issuer. Those, Anthem is still throughout the entire state as a private issuer. We also have several other choices. United is a private issuer here. Humana is a private issuer. Baptist Health. So they have a lot of options off of the exchange, but of course that does not come with any tax credits. So you would be paying full price for those healthcare plans if you must go off the exchange to purchase.
Okay, thank you. And then actually, there's a question related to your answer, Kelly, which was, if you qualify for tax credits but not CSRs, should you look to purchase a plan off the marketplace? And I think that it's really important to note that the tax credits are only available for plans purchased through the marketplace. And similarly, the cost-sharing subsidies are only available for silver plans purchased through the marketplace. So when we talk about suggesting that people look for plans off marketplace and maybe shop for a potentially a better deal there, we are really only referring to consumers who are not eligible for any tax credits. So these are people who will be paying the full cost of the premium increases. And so they may, again, be able to find better deals off the marketplace. And then, as Kelly said, for people in Kentucky who may be searching for different provider networks, again, there are other plans available, but they won't, consumers wouldn't be able to use any tax credits that they may be eligible for to purchase those plans.
I also encourage individuals to go to their healthcare providers and ask. And if they are not in the network of the choice that is available on the health benefit exchange, ask their billing office to apply for that. If they know that their patients need it, then oftentimes they will contract with that issuer as opposed to not believing that they have anybody that has that insurance. So a lot of times it's just that they haven't been asked to sign that contract yet, or they haven't thought, oh, we should contact them. So if they get a little bit of pressure from their patients that are already active and have been with that doctor for a while or that provider for a while, then they may feel the need to go ahead and reach out to the other issuer to make that contact.
Great. Thank you. Okay, got another question from Sharon. Do prescription costs get counted toward the out-of-pocket maximums? I'm going to ask Karen to field that one.
Yes, so the answer is yes, they do. Under any compliant policy on or off the marketplace, or for that matter that you may get at work, the law requires that there is an annual maximum on cost sharing for covered services in network, and cost sharing includes your annual deductible, your co-pays, co-insurance, all of that has to sum up to no more than $7,350 for an individual in 2018 and twice that amount for a family coverage if you're in a cost sharing reduction plan. As we showed in an earlier slide, those amounts could be substantially reduced. And that would be anything. So that would be your deductible, your copays for prescriptions, your copays for office visits, all of the covered services in network are bounded by that annual out-of-pocket maximum.
Great. Thanks, Karen. And it looks like we're coming up on the hour. I'll just take one more question because I think, again, this is worth reiterating. You keep mentioning cost-sharing reductions, but haven't those been stopped at this time due to the executive order issued by the Trump administration? And as we mentioned earlier, while the Trump administration has terminated payments to the insurers for those cost-sharing subsidies, the insurers are still required by law to provide those subsidies to consumers. So the subsidies remain available to consumers, and consumers should take advantage of them. Again, those are consumers who have incomes up to 250% of poverty. So it isn't, you know, those subsidies remain available even though the payments to the insurers have been terminated. So I think there's a lot of confusion, but the important takeaway for consumers is those subsidies are still available. And I think with that, we will end the bill webinar. Just a couple of points, though, before I go. This web briefing has been recorded, and it will be posted online either today or tomorrow. We tried to get through all of the questions, but if we did not answer your question, weren't able to get to it, you can contact our communications associate, Katie Smith, and we will follow up with you. And then again, we have additional resources that can be found at kff.org, and you can keep up with the Kaiser Family Foundation online via email and social media. And I would like to thank our navigators, Kelly, Emily, and Jill, for the presentations today and for participating. And I'd like to thank everyone for listening in.